Thank you so much for listening. For more information about Ebenezer Church, visit us online at ebenezerpbc.org.
A man who's called of God to preach keeps the scripture on his mind. That's not saying how great that man is. God puts it there. It stays on your mind constantly. One of the greatest conflicts with many people in the Bible is the subject of communion, the timeline of that, and exactly what it is and the purpose for it. I'm going to start very quickly in Matthew 26, if you'll pray for me. And it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, you go back in 25, you see the parable of the virgins, wise and foolish virgins, you see the man who took the talents he was given and buried him in the ground and was punished by his master for not using what God had given him to use. Slapped me in the face. And then you see the parable as it is of the sheep and the goats on the last day, and the Lord shall return, and he shall separate the sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and he shall set the goats on his left. And the goats, the righteous, the children of God, shall inherit the kingdom prepared for them from the foundation of the world, and the goats will go into way into everlasting lake of fire. Now, Jesus, the text begins in Matthew 26. That's just to give you what was said before, because the scripture says, and it came to pass when Jesus had finished all these sayings, he said unto his disciples. There's bears forth what Steve is saying. His disciples. Those in biblical definition, a disciple is one who has repented, one who has been baptized, one who takes up his cross and follows the Lord daily. Disciples. We're going to talk about Judas while we're talking about disciples, if we get to it. He said, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover. So this is 2 days before the Passover. And the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. I spoke last week very briefly about the Son of Man. Steve brought forth to us last week, who do you say I, the Son of Man, am? Jesus plainly declaring unto his children that he was the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. He's the living Word of God. He is the second person of the Godhead, yet he is also the Son of Man for the purpose of suffering the death that God could not suffer, that he as a man could suffer upon the cross of Calvary and bear our sins and our sorrows in his body and shed his blood for us. After 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests, the scribes, the elders, and all the religious leaders of the day, those who justified themselves by the keeping of the law, were puffed up people. Very vain people. And they went to Caiaphas, the high priest. They were consulting that they could take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. They hated him. This represents the natural man. Judas also represents the natural man. We talk about those of Judea that were non-believers. They were natural men. God had a people among them. We see Judas, and he represents a natural man. That's our nature. That's where we'd be without the grace of God. But they consulted to kill the Lord, the Prince of Glory. And they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. Now, when beginning a new text, 26 and 6 of Matthew. Now, when Jesus was in Bethany, this is important. This shows us where he's at. Now, when Jesus, and the timeline, 2 days before the Passover, Jesus is in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. That says a lot right there. The leper had to stand outside the city, outside the camp, because his body was covered with filth and with sores and disease. That represents our sin and where we are by nature. He had to cry out, unclean, 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 that those that were around him would not come near him in fear of that leprosy. Can we say, come out from among them and be separate? But Christ is the friend of sinners. Jesus was eating in this house with Simon the leper. We are no different by nature than Simon the leper. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment. Bear with me when I get to the text. This is called spikenard in Matthew. It's a perfume that came from East India. And this woman poured it upon his head, and he sat at meat. And John's version of Scripture, and they're all true. None of them are not true. It's inspired of God. It's all truth. Put them together. Rightly divide the word of truth. They're not differing. They're not saying different things. Mary is the woman called in John. But when the disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose this was? Judas said this could have been sold and given to the poor. Judas was a thief. Judas represents a national man. Judas Iscariot, the 12th apostle, so people say. I'm going to tell you, Judas was not the 12th apostle. Judas was chosen, but John 17 will verify that. In John 17, in the high priestly prayer, when Jesus said, "Of those which thou hast given me, I've lost none but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled." He was not chosen to be a disciple. He was chosen as a son of perdition. That does not mean that God made him do what he did or God caused him to do what he did any more than it means that the Lord of glory, who cannot look upon sin and certainly did not create sin and is not the author of sin, caused the Jews to rebel against Christ. That's a natural man in his own sin, in his own word. But foreknowing these things, God used him as the son of perdition. The name Judas Iscariot comes from the city. There's two thoughts on that. The city of Kerioth, the city in Moab. He was from there. His father was from there. It also comes from the word assassin, which were the dagger men that we mentioned earlier in the book of Acts, who the Jews used to slay their enemies. This is Judas. He was a man, and he represents the natural man. He's... Let me not say that till I get there. John says Judas said, "Why is this wasted? Could have been sold and given to the poor." And Jesus, I'll begin here in verse 10, said, "Why trouble you the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For you have always the poor always with you, but me you have not always." He was dying, he was going away. Scripture points to this in many places, many, many places. This woman was anointing his body with oil before the funeral, before the crucifixion and burial. I've done a lot of funerals lately, bear with me. Before his burial, she was anointing his body in preparation for his burial. "For in that she had poured the ointment on my body, perfume, spikenard, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you," now you listen, "if you do not think God will honor those who love him and follow him and take up their cross daily to serve him," listen to what Jesus said about this woman. This is the very living word of God, the second person of the Godhead, said, "Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her." Wasn't talking about Peter, James, and John. Wasn't talking about a man, because everybody says the man's the top dog and he is the head of the house. So that's the way God created it and made it. But this woman was there anointing the body of Christ with the perfume, and God honored her. I say that to make a point. The woman is not any less than the man. And I say that to make a point that when one person honors God, God honors them. Now let's move on with the text. "Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot," there's his name, "went unto the chief priest and said unto them, 'What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you.' And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver." Exodus 21, beginning in verse 30-something, you will find that the 30 pieces of silver was the price paid under the law if an ox gored a master's maid or servant. If an ox gored a servant, the lowest man in the world, in the view of society, a slave, a servant, then whosoever owned the ox would have to pay them 30 shekels of silver. This is putting the Lord in the place of a servant and what they thought of him. And by the way, in fact, he was, for Isaiah 42 says, "Behold, my servant, whom I uphold," this is Christ, the man elected of God to die for the sins of his people, to be the sacrificial Lamb of God represented in the Passover. 30 pieces of silver. Zechariah 11, about verse 12, he'll say, "They gave my goodly price, which was prized of me." 30 pieces of silver, the price of the servant. They despised the Lord of glory so very much, his price was the price of a servant, and this is the King of kings and Lord of lords. But they knew that not, because they were in the natural state of man. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, this is a change in time. This is 2 days later. When this chapter begins, they're in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper. Bethany is about 2 miles below Jerusalem. Jerusalem is to the north. I can guarantee you that this is not Bethany, but Jerusalem, because it's the first day of the Passover when the Passover lamb was to be killed. Jesus Christ fulfilled the law to a jot and a tittle. He never violated the law at any point. The law declared that the Passover must be killed in Jerusalem, okay? So this is 2 days later, because it is the time the Passover was to be killed. Matthew, Mark, and Luke will tell you this. John's got a different expression. John gives more history. But we see that Jesus told them, going to the city and saying to him, "This man you see, he's going to be bearing a pitcher of water. You go unto him." God, this shows the providence of God. And God said to do this. Christ said to do this. This was known of God from before the foundation of the world, because the covenant was made before the foundation of the world, that in the fullness of the time God would send forth His Son made under the law to redeem them who were under the law. That was quoted yesterday, Galatians 4:4. All this is the hand of God, the providence of God. Now, they went into the city. They bought the lamb. They bought the lamb, it says in verse 19, they made ready the Passover. We do not celebrate the Passover. We celebrate communion. This is going to be the very last Passover. The law and the prophets would be fulfilled. The city of Jerusalem and testimony that God had fulfilled the law was going to be destroyed not long after this and completely razed and done away with by the hand of God, many reasons. But it surely shows the end of the law and the foundation of grace which we stand upon. You take, they're in the city of Jerusalem. The name Jerusalem means the foundation of God's peace. That's the New Testament church in the world where we are today. And the foundation of God's peace, and that is Shiloh. Shiloh means the peace of God. That is Christ. Disciples did as Jesus had appointed them. They made ready the Passover. They bought the lamb. They had it cut up. They had it prepared. They had it made according to the law and the ceremony of the Passover, and again, the last Passover. Now, when the evening was come, because the lamb had to be killed at night, let's talk about the Passover very briefly. Pray for me. Exodus 11, the Lord told Pharaoh, he said, or told Moses, "You go tell Pharaoh." Now, you understand the wording of this, and please understand, I'm going to be very gentle and loving. And you forgive me. If you differ with me, come to me and we'll talk about it and pray. Because I love everybody. It's the Lord's children. God told Moses, "You go tell Pharaoh that about midnight I will pass through the land of Egypt. I will destroy the firstborn of Egypt from the throne of Pharaoh to the maid behind the mill." I say to make that to make the point, I do not believe it was anyone other than God the Father who passed through the land of Egypt and destroyed the firstborn of Egypt. What was the purpose? "That ye may know that the Lord thus set a difference between Israel, His manifested people at that time, and Egypt, which represents the world," and Egypt also represents depravity and the sin that we're in. Now, then we come to the Passover. Then we come to the Passover. They'd take the lamb. It had to be roasted in the fire. They would take the bitter herbs, because the bitter herbs representing the Christ. They would take the unleavened bread. At that time, the not having leaven would show that they were to go out in haste. In other words, there wasn't time to put leaven in it. You don't have time to do all that, because I am fixing to deliver you. I am going to pass through the land of Egypt, and I'm going to destroy the firstborn of Egypt, from Pharaoh to the poorest one in Egypt, and they're going to cast you out. They're going to thrust you out because of what I have done, the God of heaven. I love the "I wills" and the "shalls" in the Bible, that God says He will do and has done. They prepared the meal, and as they did eat, He said, "Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." Let me make one more statement on that. proving this is the last Passover. Steve began in 12, I think you said 17, that this would be an everlasting, that you were always forever, there's the word used, forever, you would perform this ritual of the Passover. But read, I've heard, and I say that because a lot of people make the point where they think we're supposed to be doing the Passover today. Christ fulfilled the law and the prophets. The Passover was in the law. The law is done away with. Read 17, 12 and 17. He said, in your generations forever. The generation of the law, the generation of the Jew and natural Israel is done away with. God took that away. Physical Israel is no more. I don't care what man named a nation in the Middle East and waste billions of dollars over there. I'm telling you, Israel does not exist before God in the physical sense. He said, the end of all Israel has come before me. The Israel of God is a spiritual Israel where God dwells within you, and there is the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus sat down with the 12. You watch this. You watch this. First of all, in total agreement with Steve, there were 12 disciples there with him. The entirety of Jerusalem was not with him. I'm going to say this real quick before moving on. I mean, Ephesians 4, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, all that entails there is one church body. Anyone that loves God is in the kingdom of God. There are Baptists of very different flavors and variances. There are Methodists and Catholics, and there are these and the other, many of whose name I do not even know. They're part of that one body of Christ. But we strive, and we always have, and may God bless us to continue to do so, to keep the true identity of the first century church that God ordained. And part of that is to be baptized disciples, because repent and baptism is what makes you a disciple and taking up your cross daily. And again, there are 12 there. And Judas is the son of perdition. He's not an apostle. There were 12 apostles of the Lamb. There were 12 sons of Jacob, 12 tribes of Israel. Revelation 4 talks about 4 and 24 elders. That's both put together. The 12th apostle was in Acts chapter 9, struck down on the road to Damascus. The Saul of Tarsus, who God called and made the Apostle Paul. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, he's there with his 12 disciples. Now you watch this. Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me, and they're sitting sorrowful, and began everyone to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hands with me in the dish, understand, there's no dish in communion. Okay? There's nothing to dip the bread in communion. This is not the communion service. This is the last Passover where God would fulfill all things in Christ, because He is the Passover Lamb, the Paschal Lamb. Now, let's go to John 13. Go to John 13. And we find, now before the feast of the Passover, John Gill says this is talking about when he's in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper. I disagree. I'll tell you why. If you read the scripture and you see after this meal, which is the... I'll come back and fix this. Bear with me. But after they go through this meal and Judas departs, we have 1, 2, 3, 4 chapters of a discourse, a sermon the Son of God is giving to His disciples. There is joy in being a disciple of Christ. There is joy in having the blessing of the kingdom. It's like icing on the cake to those without that are God's children. There's a great blessing in being a disciple of Christ, in being baptized, in walking every day, striving to repent, striving to walk with God, and failing and falling, and God picking you up, because we're flesh. But all these chapters go by, and you see when Jesus had spoken these words, He went forth with His disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into which He entered and His disciples. Jerusalem to the north, Bethany to the south, immediately to the east of Bethany is the Mount of Offense. Catch that. Go find your mount and look at it, the days of Christ. To the north is Jerusalem, 2 miles. To the east of Jerusalem is the brook Cedron. It's in a deep gorge. This is where many of the kings of Israel would take idols of the Israelites and destroy them, prophesying of Christ who would destroy the idols in your heart. This is Kidron in the Old Testament. K-I-D-R-O-N. A deep gorge. It took 2 hours to get from Bethany to Jerusalem and then further on out to get to Cedron or Kidron. But here's my point. Here is my point. There in Kidron is, when you cross Kidron, you come to the Mount of Olivet, the Mount of Olives, showing us the Spirit of God. And there's the Garden of Gethsemane where Christ prayed, Father, in deep agony, and his soul was sorrowful unto death. And he prayed, Father, if you be willing, let this cup be removed from me. But nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. And he shed sweat. It was not blood. Sweat from his head as great drops of blood. That should be enough to convince anyone that would logically think that they're still back in Bethany, that that's mistaken. Now, we'll cover foot washing later. But I want you to see before the feast of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come. He should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world. He loved them to the end, and supper being ended. What was that? Just what it said, supper. I didn't eat supper last night. I had too much lunch at church. I made a bowl of popcorn about 10:30 and ate that and went to bed. And supper being ended. That's not the Passover, because right here in the next page in my Bible, we're going to find where the Passover is taking place. Because we just read in Matthew 26, he that dippeth his hand in the dish with me, the same shall betray me. And here we see Jesus dipping his hand into the dish. Now let me give you this to start with. They're not sitting up at a table like a little pretty picture of the Lord's Supper that men made. And by the way, that picture of Christ is not a picture of Christ that men paint. That's a king's son in the day the artist that painted it was. He had his son painted as the Lord. Bear that in mind. Think about the deception of Satan when you look at something. Well, they're not sitting around a table eating like we do. The Passover, they had 4 cups of wine. They laid back. They had to lay on their left side because the law said so. They would lean upon their left thing. So John's beside the Lord. He's laying beside him, or leaning beside him around the table. He is on his breast, his bosom. Peter says, ask him who he's talking about. Who's going to betray him? And John asked him, he whom the Lord loveth. That doesn't mean God loves somebody more than he knows another. This is talking about the man, Jesus Christ, had a great fondness for John, as he did Peter and James. He said, he it is to whom I shall give a sop, and when I have dipped it, this is the Passover. There's no sop. There's no dipping in communion. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest do quickly. Why? Why would he do it quickly? Because the Son of Man had come to be glorified. His hour was here. What did he say in John 12? That the hour was come. He said, you think I'm going to pray to the Father to deliver me from this hour? For this cause I came into this hour. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him, meaning the Father, who sent him to die for his people. Christ dipped in the sop, that thou doest do, dip the sop. He said, that thou doest do it quickly. And he went out. And he went out. Now they think, because they can't hear, they're all laying down beside. John says, Lord, who is it? Peter, I don't even think you've heard him. You want testimony of that? Let's go to Luke 22. I've heard that used too. Well, somebody would say that the Lord would take communion with Judas. Let me tell you something. Judas had right to Passover, okay? Judas was a Jew in the flesh, a natural man. The name Judas proves that. He had right to the Passover. That was given to the natural Israelite in the flesh. God said, I'll pass over you in the blood of the Lamb as a nation of people. Judas was the son of perdition. If you think he was a good man, you read Matthew where he saw he was condemned and he repented himself. That is in fear of God. And he hanged himself. I believe it's in Acts chapter 1 where it says he went into his own place. Read the 109th Psalm speaking of Judas. Set thou a wicked man over him and let Satan stand at his right hand. And everything upon him because he betrayed the Son of God is cursing, is cursing, is cursing. He loved cursing, let him be cursed. Let his family be cursed. No mercy. You want to see repentance? Look at Peter. Peter denied the Lord 3 times in 1 night. The Lord turned and looked at him. He wept bitterly. Went out and wept bitterly. Judas repented himself for fear and hanged himself. I'll leave that where it stands. But Luke 22, we have where he comes to the communion service. He took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let me finish what I was saying. Judas had right to Passover, being a natural Israelite. Judas had no right to communion. I'm talking about closed communion. That is for the true disciples, the Lord Jesus Christ. Judas was not an apostle. He was a son of perdition. The apostle Paul is the 12th apostle. I don't care who they cast lots on. I don't care what they decided to do as mankind. The apostle Paul was the 12th apostle that God chose in Christ. And Jesus himself said, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles. Now as far as being an apostle, it means sent. And Judas was sent to be the son of perdition. But the apostle Paul was the last apostle and he was sent to the Gentiles. Scripture proves that. But here we have in 22, when we come down to the communion, he says, in verse 19, 22 of Luke, and he took bread and gave, remember, he dipped in the sop. What happens in John? What happens in John when he gave him the sop? Immediately, Judas left. Immediately upon having the sop, Satan entered into the heart of Judas Iscariot and he goes to gather the officers and the men of the chief priests to betray our Lord and Savior. And with a kiss in the very garden across the brook Kidron in Gethsemane, where he was betrayed. Now, Jesus said this, I'm not going through this now, we'll get it in communion. He took bread, he broke it, he said, this is my body, the Paschal Lamb, given for you. Do you love God? For you. Do you know God? For you. This do in remembrance of me. I want to my every step I have, every single day, to show the Lord's death. I want every step, thought, and piece of my being to honor the Lord. Brother David talking yesterday and then being also in the afternoon trying to figure why the Lord would allow us to suffer like we do and live to the point of death like the thief on the cross. I'll give you my thinking on that. We go from generation to generation to generation and God suffers sin and God suffers sin and God suffers sin. And at the time of Christ, for the Son of Man quickeneth whom He will and when He will, can I add? God is glorified in each generation as the children of God see the light of God planted within a child of God and repentance comes and he takes up his cross and follows the Lord and God is glorified and it pleases the Lord. Now, that's my thought. Well, let's see this. Then he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you. There's that you again, personal Savior. Verse 21. This is starting a new context in the middle of all this. Judas is already gone. Passover is over. This is communion. This is what I believe. This is what I believe I can prove to you by Scripture. That's why I believe it. He quotes the 41st Psalm and verse 9. Remember, they all thought Judas had gone out to buy things for the preparation of the feast. They thought he had left to prepare. Nobody heard that but John. But behold, the hand of him, this is quoting the 41st Psalm, and Jesus is plainly declaring the glory of God, delivered his son up to the Gentiles, to be betrayed with the kiss, delivered unto the high priest, delivered unto the Gentiles, the leader. That's why the second Psalm says something along the lines of the heathen. The heathen. That's the Gentiles. Imagine the vain thing. And the rulers. Who were the rulers? The rulers of Israel. The religious elite. Those that were the priesthood of Levi in that day, justifying themselves in their own goodness and righteousness of the law, when they could not see and understand that they were depraved. The leaders, the rulers, all rise up against the Lord. And I love that next verse. The Lord shall have them in derision. They thought by their killing him it was over. And God used that and suffered that to be the deliverance of his people and delivered him from death. And we came forth from death with him. That's why we're baptized, as Steve said, go into that water, and it's the answer of a good conscience toward God, that when we come into the church, we testify to all in our baptism that Christ died for me just as he delivered them from Egypt, just as they were under that cloud, just as they were under the sea. He delivered them. God delivered them. Bible says by faith the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. There was one man there had faith. That was Moses, and God gave it to him. Don't tell me what Israel did. Think about it. God did the work. God always does the work of salvation. But he quotes the 41st Psalm, but behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is on the table, and truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined. But woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. Let me finish with this. I know I'm 2 minutes past, but that clock's wrong anyway. I'm actually about 7 past. Bear with me. You go to John 13, you're going to see Jesus washing the disciples' feet. You understand this. You understand this. Judas is there. From what I read in the Bible, it testifies to me that Christ washed his disciples' feet, and there were 12 there. Why in the world would the Lord wash the feet of Judas? Let's go back to Luke 22. If you read there, you will find that they are all there at the time the Son of God is going to be crucified, to be delivered. He's preparing them for his crucifixion, death, burial, and resurrection, and ascension unto glory. What are they doing? Luke 22. They're arguing. God have mercy, help us, we are but flesh. They're arguing over who of them is going to be the best. God help us. That's why Jesus girded himself with a towel. And by the way, this happened before the Passover. I got no problem doing it with communion and after, but it happened before the Passover. Scripture teaches us that. They were wanting to know who was going to be the greatest among them, and the Lord gave them example that he, the greatest of all, the King of kings and Lord of lords, had come into this world to be a servant, to bow down before sinful men that God loved, to save them from their sins. Does it start out, Joe, Jesus knowing that he came from God and would return to God? And that's why he told them, happy, happy are ye if ye know these things. Happy are ye. Everybody doesn't know it. If you do them. That we would bow down ourselves to each other as Christ bowed to the Father, as Christ bowed to us, as Christ bowed to the hand of death. But let me tell you, he's not a servant anymore. We will do communion this afternoon. I want you to realize that when we do this, we do what we believe the Bible says. The only thing we've got that we can do in this world to honor God is what is taught in Scripture. How to repent, how to follow the Lord, and how to take communion. All the ordinances in the Old Testament are done away with. They had so many, how tiresome they must have been. We've got two. Baptism, an ordinance of God, and communion. Breaking the bread, taking the wine, to show the Lord's death till He come. He's coming back. He's raising the bodies. He's reuniting the spirit and the soul together. There will be people raised up and reunited with their spirit and soul whose body are in the ground that many people think, oh, they're dead in hell. They were so mean. They were so wicked. They never showed signs of repentance. But let me tell you something, child of God. When God works a work of repentance, we don't always see it, but the Lord does. Now, our duty is to show forth our works of repentance, but I'm convinced there's far more children of God that never show it than those that do, and those that do fall constantly, and the Lord picks them up. It is our duty, and it's in Scripture, and may God help us to keep the true identity of the Scripture of the kingdom of God. God bless you.